Welcome to the Red Phone Zone, where we are still figuring things out. I am your host, Aaron. With me, as always, is the wonderful, beautiful, over-exaggerating Ethan.
And Trevor.
Say hello, Ethan.
Hello, Ethan.
Jesus, that's lame.
Yes,
and we also have...
You said try to bring comedy in.
Yeah.
Fail miserably.
Yeah, we're not funny at all.
Nope.
And we have grins like an idiot, Shay.
Hi.
As you may or may not know, we are a weekly show where we'd like to let our geek flag fly.
Yeah.
And what we do is we talk about lots of things that's important to us geeks that other people probably couldn't care less about. We have several rotating topics. I guess we're on the B team tonight, where tonight we're going to be doing a casting couch of the Green Arrow. That should be interesting. Following that up, we're going to do a characterization of the wonderful character of Galactus. And then after that, we are going to be doing a Confessions of a Movie Snob on Scott Pilgrim versus the World. But before we do any of that, we always start off every week with a segment we like to call Geekly Happenings, where we talk about things that happen in the world that are relevant to us geeks. Do you guys want to start it off, or you want me to start off with my one I forgot last week?
Oh, why don't you start off with the one we forgot about last
week? This is one that do you know? Do you remember when Shay did his shit about the quirks, and then you know
quark,
whatever it was, and then he did something else, something scientific-y. One of those weird things. He's just trying to get to a specific group of geeks. Well, I kind of got one like that, and it's not new, but I should have brought it up last week. I just forgot about it, and it was the demotion of the Triceratops. Did either of you two hear about that?
No.
They discovered that Triceratops, as we know it, as we've been led to believe, never existed.
Oh, well.
They were a juvenile version of another dinosaur called the... I don't remember. I thought I knew this off the top of my head. Maybe the Protoceratops, something like that.
Does this mean that that Steven Spielberg's going to go back and re-edit Jurassic Park and put in
he's going to give it a microphone. He's going to give it a walkie-talkies. Yeah, probably.
Instead of horns.
No, it's no. I beg my pardon.
That's a big pile of walkie-talkies.
Yep. I beg your pardon. It was called the Torosaurus. Basically, it looked like a Triceratops, but it was a lot bigger, and it had holes in its shield. And it's an interesting thing. And actually, I don't know if you guys remember, but I certainly remember the demotion of Pluto from a planet to the asteroid.
Pluto's a planet. It's
Pluto's
dwarf
planet, motherfucker.
You need a t-shirt that says Pluto's
I actually...
a
I've been reading a little bit about people's reaction to this, and it's very similar to that. It's, people are like, man, you're not going to take the Triceratops away from me, god damn it. But they really found out that the Triceratops was just like the
juvenile version
of the Torosaurus. And what's funny is because of the outcry, it sounds like what they're actually going to wind up doing is they're going to unclassify the Torosaurus and just say that that's an old Triceratops just to not make people pissed off.
It's still the Triceratops. It's just we got the other
name wrong. We'll try to please all parties.
But it's an old dead lizard. It was always my favorite growing up. But, that's a little thing I want to bring up. Do you guys got anything a little bit more recently than that?
Not a lot's happened in the last week. You mentioned it earlier that DC Comics is now going to take a heavier hand in their movies. They built a building.
Wow.
I know. An actual building.
It's a dedicated site to actually making their movies instead of it just being a...
And this on top of Warner Brothers announcing that a lot of big announcements are coming from DC and that since the Harry Potter franchise is now going to be ending, they want to focus on the DC stuff as a good franchise, which is
smart.
A sort of no-brainer, really.
Yeah, I mean, they made so much money off of The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm.
And Jonah Hex was just so great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a movie I haven't seen yet. Jonah Hex.
But you'll probably like it. It's horrible.
I liked Resident Evil Afterlife.
81 minutes long. And the DVD comes out October 12th.
Does it have, deleted scenes and whatnot?
The extra features do list deleted scenes, but...
Not like a director's cut?
No, it's not like a director's cut.
No, I mean, I can't imagine that,
I would like to see the whole movie rather than the 80-minute cut of it.
Sure. I mean, I don't know that I'm really that curious about it, to tell you the
truth.
Yeah, I really don't. I like Jonah Hex as a concept.
I like him as a character. Yeah, he's cool. I was actually going to go off something he said. No, I mean, like I said, the Batman franchise has been very successful. The Superman Returns made money, right?
As I understand it, it actually seems like
it did, but it's fan. The thing is, the movie cost a huge amount of money to make because they had
that.
It cost like $300 million.
Oh wow!
Because a big chunk of the budget had to go to clearing up rights issues.
I could see that.
Like I'm talking like $70, $80, $90 million went to rights issues, and so
that's kind of annoying.
That's fiscally irresponsible.
And so it was that's why that movie cost so much money. That and the effects were way out there, and he had little Superman booties.
But he did
Superman booties.
That was a big money item.
Yeah, they're not doing too well financially. The Batman movies have made money.
Mm-hmm.
Batman 3 is probably not going to make as much money as The Dark Knight.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, that was just a perfect storm of bad circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, what with Heath Ledger dying, what with Christian Bale beating up his mom and his sister,
with
Morgan Freeman's divorce and car wreck,
uh-huh,
and being caught cheating in the middle. It was just a fluke that movie made as much money as it did.
It had more to do with the real world than it did with the movie itself.
I actually think that the Green Arrow, Green Lantern, at this point is set up to make some money. I mean, I talk to is really excited about it, except for the idiots on superherohype.com. But
they're idiots in general.
We've discussed why we don't read the comments on superherohype.com.
There's more fallout from the Ed Norton Incredible Hulk stuff.
What's this?
Apparently, Ed Norton responded to the to the Kevin Feige comments of basically he's not a team player.
Did he actually make that comment?
Yes, he did.
When was this? I wasn't aware of that.
In not so many words, he said Edward Norton's not a team player. He said Edward Norton is not who we're looking for in an ensemble type of film.
It was that thing that we read on air.
Okay. And his agent, of course, his agent fired back saying, "You're a big poo-poo head and we hate you."
Yeah. Almost exactly. I almost did a direct quote.
Almost verbatim. But Edward Norton actually responded back in a very civilized way. It's like, I don't know why they're saying this. I mean, it was entirely a business decision.
Yeah.
It was entirely over money, and that's it.
Uh-huh.
It's like, whatever.
Well, maybe that's what they meant when they said they
he's not a team player by not taking $1.50 to do the movie.
Right.
Something like that, whatever.
If we pay his fee, we can't afford everybody else.
Man, so, talk about beating a dead Norton. I mean, we've been talking about this a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things where I feel kind of bad for Mark Ruffalo.
I do, too.
Walking into this. I mean, Edward Norton walking into the role from Eric Bana was...
I felt bad for him.
I did, too.
Because I liked
not
Eric
nearly,
Bana.
There wasn't this much...
No. Well,
yes, flowing.
Eric Bana walked away.
They
wanted him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Norton is being replaced, apparently for money, which is, you know, tacky. But you know what?
Yeah.
Like we like to say on the show, it is show business. Maybe they need to free up money to get Jeremy Renner for Hawkeye. I mean, who knows?
Who knows? Joss Whedon has come on. He's pretty much rewritten a lot of the script.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, yeah. I did read that.
He came in, they had a script, and he said, well, this isn't really what I would do. I would do this. And they said, that's a great idea, do it.
Yeah, I did
and
read
so
that.
And so he rewrote the script, you know, so... interested to see what happens with it. I'm definitely going to see the movie. So.
Oh yeah.
We have a release date for Ghost Rider 2, which is now
directed by Neville Dean Taylor.
We knew that before.
Yeah. Well, last time I saw is they were being. It was still in discussions. It's
right.
It's like the whole Deadpool thing with Robert Rodriguez. They're in talks.
Have we reported about that? Is that in discussion?
Still in discussion.
Okay. Still in discussion.
But you said Ryan Reynolds has talked about.
Well, it's an issue of him not having to choose Deadpool over
I'm trying to remember
what it's called.
Initials or something.
Undead Police Department or something like that. I've never heard of it.
And apparently he was going with the Undead movie. Wants to do that one more.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
When I was looking through stuff earlier today, I noticed something. I'm not sure if it's a confirmed thing or it's a discussion, but apparently they're coming out with another Thundercats cartoon.
I heard about that, yeah.
Which would be really neat. Thundercats is one of those shows that
I guess liked and
looked at then later when I was an adult and went, oh my.
The other thing
goodness.
I did spot is the studio released concept art that's been floating around for the Voltron movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks very cool. No studio has actually picked it up yet, but I think it's a part of a marketing ploy to get it out there and say, hey, this is what the movie would look like, guys. fans, hint, hint.
Everybody loves Voltron.
Yes. It looks very cool. It's got pretty much the Voltron robot standing next to the Statue of Liberty, and sort of like Voltron does the Transformers thing.
Wow. I think Voltron can do what Transformers did.
Yeah. You know, I'm still
that suck.
I'm still looking for a Robotech movie, but
I like Transformers. Robotech would be interesting.
I know that you guys like the Transformers
a live action Macross would be.
But
really
it's
neat.
it's also you know, I didn't grow up with it, so I don't really. I don't really think that it's that big of a deal. R.I.P.D. Rest in peace department.
Rest in peace department.
Right.
And I believe the release date on Ghost Rider was like February 12th, something like that.
Yeah, February 12th,
2012.
Spirit of Vengeance. I'm not that big of a fan of Ghost Rider as the book. I'm not a gearhead. I don't really like bikes. I didn't really like the first one, and I don't really care about the second one. I could see.
I'm still pulling for a ROM Space Knight movie.
Yeah,
ROM Space Knight would be pretty interesting. We need to do that one as a casting couch, actually. No, we should remake it. We should make ROM Space Knight.
Man, where were you when we were talking about doing that earlier?
I think I was smoking a cigarette on the porch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, the going rumors right now for Smallville Season 10 is...
February 17th.
...is Darkseid and Apocalypse.
Darkseid and Apocalypse.
Terry Hatcher's going to play Lois Lane's mom on Smallville.
Like he's going to get teleported.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's what it says right there.
I was wondering when Terry Hatcher would show up.
I could see them teleport Clark from Smallville to Apocalypse, and that kind of be a real blowout final season.
In the final part, in the final episode, and all throughout Season 9, you saw the Justice episode at the end of that when Amanda Waller shoots Icicle. She goes, Apocalypse is coming. And Geoff Johns wrote the episode, and he said, that's Apocalypse with a... When I wrote that, that was Apocalypse with a K.
Yeah.
And at the end of the season, basically Tess Mercer's in the hospital, and there's an old lady sitting outside of her room knitting.
Ooh.
And like she flatlines, and the old lady puts her knitting stuff away, stands up, and walks into her room and shuts the door.
Okay,
that's pretty awesome.
Granny Goodness is who I'm thinking right there. So,
yeah. Suppose they'll get Ed Asner to play her again.
You know what would be really neat is if they have an episode. One of my favorite comic books. Just one of those kind of out of the just random, like this was a really cool, so almost enough said it was Superman trying to escape Darkseid's I-beam teleportation thing, and he's like flying through sewers and buildings and all this kind of thing. It'd be neat for them
to Omega Beam,
do an Omega Beam, like you could do almost a whole episode of him just really going all out trying to avoid the Omega Beams.
I think it'd be a rather
boring
episode, but yeah.
Well, you know, if he was breaking stuff, he was knocking into buildings, and there was some more, and also having a little bit of the soap opera-y backstories of, like, where's Clark? Mm-hmm. This is really important. Clark should be here for this. Could somebody get a hold of him? You know, where there's something happening at the Daily Planet, and they can't find him because he's running away from the Omega Beams.
But, well, that's, I think that's all I got as far as everything I know.
So, I guess that has been Geekly Happenings. Stay tuned. We will be right back with... our casting couch of Green Arrow. We are back with the casting couch. Fun little segment where we like to take something that hasn't quite been given the Hollywood treatment and throw the people in there that we would like to see in these roles. This week we're going to be doing Green Arrow. This is going to be a little bit shorter than usual. We only have four choices. We are going to be casting Oliver Queen. We're going to be casting Black Canary. We're going to be casting... who else? Roy Harper. And we're going to be casting Deadshot. I know he's not a traditional... he's not a traditional Green Arrow villain, but I think he fits. I think he'd be an interesting villain for that. So, why don't we just go ahead and start off with Oliver Queen? Who would you say that you would like to see and why, Ethan?
Actually, this was the hardest one for me to cast, to tell you the truth, because Oliver Queen has such a unique look to him. Mm-hmm. And so I basically cast everybody else, and then I went back to him and said, okay, well, who fits this age? Who fits the age, sort of comparing it to...
what age were you looking for?
I ended up at about 30.
Me too, okay.
Although you'll be surprised with the age of the person I picked for Roy Harper.
Okay.
But I went with actor Ryan Gosling.
Huh.
Ryan Gosling.
All right, yeah. Academy Award nominee, Ryan Gosling.
What kind of stuff has he been in?
He's actually he's a dramatic actor. And
Was he in? Is he in Gossip Girl?
Let's see. I have no idea, but that's what he looks like, Shay.
Yep. Oh, that guy.
Yeah,
I've seen him before.
He's a handsome young man.
And as I said, he wasn't my first choice. My first choice, one of my first choices I went through was Alan Tudyk.
You mentioned that before the show.
Yeah, and then I looked at his profile, and I looked at his filmography, and he's on the Young Justice cartoon series that they're working on as the voice of Oliver Queen. I was like, oh crap.
Which is weird.
And he's also, you know, 40.
I've read some Young Justice, and
I can live with 40.
I don't remember Green Arrow being in Young Justice. I remember
this is also Speedy a cartoon.
Yeah, it's a cartoon.
But no, Ryan Gosling. I am actually not too horribly familiar with this guy's work. I mean, he was in The Notebook. He was in Fracture. And you know, he seems like he's a an actor who's got that pretty boy thing going for him. But he does more serious independent type of stuff. So I mean, he does what Brad Pitt did back in the day. You know,
I mean, he's still kind of
So that's essentially who I ended up going with.
15 years ago, Brad Pitt would have been bad.
No, exactly,
maybe he's a little too pretty, but mm-hmm. you know. Okay, well, that's interesting.
I think that a dramatic actor is actually a good idea for Green Arrow because he's not a big explodey superhero. It's a very cerebral.
Well, it depends on when he was being written. But
and he's Canadian. He was born in London, Ontario, Canada.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So was I. Well, actually, not really.
Yeah, not really.
But hey, okay, so that's one way to go. What'd you do, Shay?
Something completely different.
Uh oh.
I
John Cleese.
No.
Okay.
This was actually a knee-jerk reaction that I have been initially went, no, that's being silly. But then I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and thought about some of the other characters and went, you know what? There's absolutely nothing about this character that means that he has to be a blonde-haired white guy. And so I chose a character, a guy that everybody's going to know, Will Smith.
He's too old.
He's about 40, and I think that
isn't that's he the, older than 40?
No, he's just right at 40.
No, you're probably right.
And that's how old I thought that Green Arrow was supposed to be.
He's the Fresh Prince of Green Arrow, sure.
The Fresh Prince of Coast City.
Fresh Prince of Star City.
Yeah. He's somebody I could see being a mayor and a superhero. Mm-hmm. He's somebody I can see delivering speeches about social responsibility, and I could see him doing that kind of thing.
And I'm thinking totally more Black Lightning or Black Panther, but you know, whatever.
Hey, I thought Green Arrow and something about his sort
up
of like
up in a motherfucking way. Yep.
I thought something about his calm sort of like competence, and I was just like, wow, he could do that. He's Will fucking Smith, and he's also
no, when he's
I realized,
not.
When I realized that
he's not Will fucking Smith,
I actually decided that I wanted to nominate him for the next Order of Ruthos.
Very interesting. Okay, that's your call.
I was trying to describe. How do I describe him? Do I reference his work? No, he's Will fucking Smith.
No, he's not Will fucking Smith.
Not yet.
I'm not necessarily opposed to that idea. Well, I mean, you know, Shay is right. There is nothing saying that he has to be a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know, white guy. But there's also not anything saying that he couldn't be. I might be overstating something here, but, you know, kind of always like an opinion I've gotten off of Green Arrow, especially lately, is like he's kind of a dirty hippie. I mean, in a lot of ways, he's very political, and I honestly find politics, you know,
he's
uncool.
Well, at least was the mayor of Star City.
He was the mayor of Star City. He was, you know, he was the billionaire. I kind of like the story arcs where he lost his he lost all of his money, and he never really went by Green Arrow, and he was just running around and, you know, shooting stuff with bows.
Shooting people with arrows.
Arrows instead of
Plus
boxing gloves.
We're talking about a guy in the Dark Knight Returns who got his arm pulled off and then learned how to fire his bow with his teeth.
Dude's
hardcore.
He is hardcore.
That is the one thing that is really sort of pivotal to Green Arrow is that he's a survivor and
he's a relentless bastard.
He's a relentless guy and he just seems to have like a lot of faith in people, and I kind of like that. But at any rate, and this isn't necessarily going to be leading into why I picked this guy, but it's a conversation that Ethan and I have had before that there's just something about Hollywood and movies, and when they put archers in there, they have this tendency to make them scrawny little fuckers. And I am, or, well, probably more accurately, I was an archer, and I know, you know, how much strength it takes to pull back a bow. And yep. if you do it over and over again, you're going to get be a big guy. I'm actually proud of Shay for not choosing Orlando Bloom. I actually kind of figured he might. But
why would I do that?
I don't know.
Because he had the bow
it's an odd,
in his hand
yep,
in the movie
exactly,
at one point.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. What I did is I decided to go with a young actor, and I wanted to kind of put like the rough edges on him. I didn't want him to be pretty boy Ollie Queen. I mean, obviously he's gonna be, and I went with somebody that I have actually used before in a casting couch, but you know, I never broke my rule of not using the same person in the same season. Somebody that likes making comic book movies, the 29-year-old actor Ben Foster.
He was one of the guys I thought of.
I
tell you the truth.
You know, I like Ben Foster. He's just he kind of has like that steely gaze.
Mm-hmm. He's a fantastic actor.
Very good actor.
What's he been in?
He was Angel in X-Men 3. He was the main guy in Pandorum.
Bad guy in 310 to Yuma.
Yeah. Well, he was awesome in that.
Yeah, he looked like a woman in Dragon, that. I said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but he was freaking...
Yeah, he was nasty.
He was the bad guy in Hostage. Mm-hmm. He was another creepy bastard.
Good actor.
But
very
yeah,
good
he's,
actor.
He's really good. He's been around for a while.
And I, you know, I kind of like it. I mean, I just, you know, I kind of like him. You know, I'm not particularly opposed to...
He was Spacker Dave in the Punisher.
Ryan Gosley. Yeah, that's right. He was
Spacker
Dave.
Dave in the Punisher.
In the Punisher. Yeah. Oh. He's interesting. I could see him being interested in doing it, actually to be a lead in a comic book movie.
And he was one of the guys I actually considered for Roy Harper.
Was he?
Uh-huh.
He's just yes, but he's like 30.
But, yeah, but
and I ran into that problem.
I said if I wanted a 30-year-old, I wanted to go younger for Roy Harper, and I ended up not.
So you've got Roy Harper's same age, basically cast.
No,
we'll
get to him.
But before we do get to Roy Harper,
I did think of Ben
Foster. Well,
I really dig him.
He's a good actor. He's a good actor. But before we do hit, Roy Harper, we're going to be just casting Black Canary. And funny thing is, I don't remember her last name. Her first name is Dinah, right?
Dinah Prince.
That's right. Dinah Prince. She's. I can't keep it straight anymore.
She's the daughter of previous Black Canary.
She was Green Arrow's wife, and then wasn't, then was. And
they
I
got divorced over something. Yep. Like Green Arrow decided to kill somebody, and Black Canary decided she wasn't cool with that.
Yeah. Well, hey, imagine that.
I read that earlier today.
But I mean, it's they're such a dynamic couple in the comic books. You think Green Arrow, you think Black Canary.
They're almost like the Dibneys in a lot of ways. I mean, because there was the Green Arrow Black Canary book.
She's Lois Lane to his Superman.
Sure.
And
I mean,
they were together for a long time before they got married.
Yeah.
They only
got
married as part of him being a mayor, and then because that looked better for him running as a candidate and that kind of thing.
Well, Ethan, what'd you do for this one?
The thing about Black Canary is I remember from the animated series, and she's another one of those characters that I gotta believe she can kick my ass. I gotta believe she can jump off that screen and kick the ever-loving crap out of anyone who comes after her. And so I wanted to go for a attractive, you know, downright drop-dead gorgeous actress that could do something like that. And,
Mia Jovovich?
No,
I just watched
Resident
Evil after.
I ended up going with another 30-year-old. I went with Kristen Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Who was Veronica Mars, amongst other things. She was on the second season of Heroes.
Oh, Kristen Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I ran into her when I was doing my research for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the choice I settled on. The other choice I was thinking of was with some blonde hair dye was the actress from Pandorum, and I can't remember her name. She's some German actress, but yeah, Kristen Bell. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, she's in a lot of things lately. But
it seems like I did a search about you know other people's fantasy casting, and she might have come up in there. Cool. What'd you do, Shay?
I was, as with Will Smith, I was thinking older, and for some reason, when I chose this, I completely forgot that Black Canary's hair was blonde, and this woman's hair is rather dark. Blonde hair dye. She's currently in a movie called Toast. It's about a British food critic by the name of Nigel Slater that's coming out here shortly. Helena Bonham Carter. I'm sure you're familiar with her from Fight Club, Harry Potter.
Well, I mean, in terms of the blonde hair, I mean, that's no biggie. That's a wig or that's some hair dye or whatever.
Might be,
I like Helena Bonham Carter. I mean, I don't know about...
She's a bit on the old side.
Yeah, isn't she like damn near 50?
I was thinking of Green Arrow and Black Canary being older when I was making the castings. I wanted them to be about 40. She's like 45, and Will Smith is like 43.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay. Well, I went with this, and it's funny that you look at Black Canary, and you see this beautiful blonde bombshell, and I don't know why, but like reading her, I mean, obviously, you know, looking at her, she comes across as beautiful. I didn't think it really seemed that necessary. So kind of what I wanted was, you know, I'm thinking about this in terms of like the way this movie would be made is kind of like an expensive independent film, really. Mm-hmm. You know, with, you know, maybe a little bit more heavy-heading drama, stuff like that. But you'd also have to have your cool-ass action in there.
I mean, Black Canary's voice move is going to be the most impressive special effects, except for maybe, unless maybe explode some things.
See, me, I'd have like a lot of, you know, kick-ass, choreography where, you know, he's shooting arrows into the wall and running up on, like, stairs and cool shit like that. Kung Fu action. Yeah. But I wanted to get, you know, a good character in there. And, like, the way that I'm envisioning my Oliver Queen is I'm thinking that, you know, he's not going to be the most approachable and lovable guy because I would have him be very standoffish and aloof. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wanted to have somebody that, you know, I believe could... you know, pull off whatever would be necessary to convey those emotions. I went with a good actress by the name of Michelle Williams. She was in Brokeback Mountain. And it was funny, I was reading about her, and apparently she was on Dawson's Creek. I didn't have a fucking clue about that, but I didn't watch The Creek. I think that, and I don't want to be sounding insulting towards Michelle Williams. I think she's very pretty, but she's just not like the supermodel, blonde hair, blue eyed bombshell.
She's not Kristen Bell.
Right. She's also 29 years old, and that was just a coincidence. She's an actress I like. I think she's a very good actress. I just went in that direction because I don't think I've really seen her in anything like that, and I just think it'd be fun to see her play that kind of character. So that is my Black Canary. I guess after that, we're going to be going on to Roy Harper, the original Speedy. Fun little character.
The heroin addict.
The special heroin.
I believe his new name is what? Arsenal?
It was Arsenal for a minute, and now it is Red Arrow.
Yeah, it went from Speedy to Arsenal to Red Arrow. Mm-hmm. He's been showing up quite a bit in Brightest Day, as a matter of fact.
He's like the flagship Teen Titans guy.
Sure. So, what'd you got on that one, Ethan?
Well, the actor that popped into mind for me on this one, I was like, you know, I think this guy could play it. He's got that, you know, got that bad boy look and that sort of attitude. Roy Harper, I think, sort of embodies is that I'm a son of a bitch and
he is a little bastard.
I like whining all the time.
Really don't care about you.
I decided a guy who can do physicality and whatnot. And this is an actor. He's a 42 year old actor.
Yeah, you did go a little older.
Well, when I chose him, I had no idea he was this old.
Oh yeah.
He's one of those actors who he plays young real well, and he has always played young. And it's an actor named Mark Warren. He's a British actor.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that guy before.
He's been in a lot of things. Been in Wanted. He was in. He was in an episode of Doctor Who. But it's. He's sort of got that. You know, I'm.
He looks. I'm he does angsty have that look. Sort of like,
he's 42.
Yeah, maybe it's
I think he
adventure.
Can with some makeup whatnot. I don't think there's an issue with it.
Well.
But I liked the choice enough that I just went ahead and
stayed
with it. So.
Interesting way to go. What'd you do, Shay?
I went with someone you guys are probably going to recognize the name. He's currently getting ready to show up in a movie called Witches of Oz 3D. It's going to be coming out. Guy by the name of Ethan Embry.
Oh, yeah. I like Ethan Embry.
Can't hardly wait. Dragon. I thought he had that sort of like... He has that sidekicky look to him, was what sold me on him.
He was,
like, I saw his face on IMDb and went, that guy.
Yeah, I like... How old is he?
Look up how old he was.
He's got to be older than us. He's probably 35 to 40,
35,
somewhere around
about
there.
Right. But he has that... To me, he had that sort of like... I look like a goofy kid to a certain extent, and that's where I was kind of looking
He's
for.
He's not aging well at all. I mean, I'm not really saying anything, but...
Oh, okay, that guy.
Yeah.
Ethan Embry. Yeah.
I haven't.
You know, the last thing I remember seeing him in was Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
I saw that on his filmography. I don't remember him.
He was the guy that. Do you remember like the people in the office?
Yeah, the jerks.
He was the head jerk.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't really the head jerk because there was the other guys that were the head jerks. He was the guy that's like, oh man, I got all this work to do, and the other guy's like, yeah man, fuck it, let's just go and get the Indian kid to do it. And
yeah,
he was that one.
Okay.
I could honestly see that. I mean.
The worst choice I've made today.
This is one that, you know, I decided with it that I wanted to kind of keep the age structure that it's at least given to us with the comic book. So I did go with a younger actor. I went with Logan Lerman, the kid that played Percy Jackson.
You
can make him a redhead real quick.
Oh, yeah.
He's got that persnickety attitude about him. And I don't know, it just seems like an interesting way to go. Because, you know, I like Logan Lerman. I mean, I liked that movie. It wasn't that good, but I thought he was pretty good in it. So I guess after that, we're going to go with the final one. He is our villain. You know, I don't know Green Arrow that well at all. I know that I like the concept of it. I mean, I love me some archery.
I really don't know if he has a flagship villain type of thing.
Count Vertigo was one I was considering.
Like shoehorned in, really, yeah. Kind of
I was
thing.
Thinking of it.
I'm not too familiar with
there
his
mythology. There is an arc where Deadshot and Green Arrow meet, and it has to do with...
It seems like a likely pairing.
It was the Longbow Hunters.
During the Longbow Hunters, Deadshot decides to be a good guy because he finds out that he has a daughter. And so he goes to go... I mean,
He becomes the bloody mercenary.
He goes and he starts capping gangbangers in this where his daughter Zoe lives. And so Green Arrow and him have this sort of, like, big social... tete-a-tete about how far is too far and what's the right thing to do, and eventually, apparently, Green Arrow uses his billions to take care of Zoe, and Deadshot goes back to being a international assassin.
Mercenary assassin. That seems like a great trade.
Well, he has no concern for human life.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Deadshot. Not even his own. That's why he's part of the Suicide Six.
It's absolutely true. You know, he doesn't want to die, but he also doesn't care if he lives.
Yeah.
That's like kind of one of his shticks. It was interesting because I was like trying to figure out, you know, who we're going to cast for this. I just kind of said Green Arrow without really thinking about who we're going to cast. And so I started looking at story arcs. I almost went with Quiver, but, you know, that is every bit as much of a Green Arrow story as it is a Green Lantern story as it is a Green Arrow. And we would have went with Onomatopoeia, but he would be weird to cast because he doesn't speak and he wears, you know, a mask. And so I decided,
not the greatest superhero villain ever created.
I like Onomatopoeia quite a bit.
Hey, that's compare him to Stiltman.
Oh, well.
Okay, well, compared to Stiltman.
I like Onomatopoeia. And at any rate, but like Ethan said, Deadshot is a likely pairing. So this is one that I just stuck in there. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be interesting, you know, kind of old versus new. You know, you got your hero with the bows. But, you know, oh, man, I'm wasting time.
You've got a guy who has no concern for human life and a guy who has...
Overly
at least up until the recent comics.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, up until the recent comics. When he comes back from the dead, it's weird.
I went with an actor who is one of those actors that you've seen in a lot of things, doing a lot of little bit parts, and he's usually a villain. Well, again, he's a villain. The thing I remembered him from was Death Race. He's one of the villains in Death Race, and it's an actor by the name of... Max Ryan, and he's a 43-year-old actor. That's who he is.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys who's been in quite a lot of things, but he's... Have you seen Death Race?
Never the lead.
No.
Okay, yeah, he's never the lead type of thing, but I think for... When I'm thinking Deadshot, you know, I'm thinking... This guy was just that's got who Max Ryan, or he's got this steely stare type of thing down, and who just... doesn't really give a shit, and that's sort of what this guy embodies to me, and I can see him playing that of going, you know what, it's like, I'm here to do a job, Green Arrow, you're in the way, you know, here, eat a bullet, type of thing, and you know, you sort of have to draw the parallels between Deadshot and Bullseye, because they're very similar characters, but I think he's a bit more calculating than Bullseye is. Bullseye is much more, I'm going to kill this because it's fun. And this guy is much more like, this is my target, I'm going to kill it, I'm killing my target. And I'm going to kill my target in such a way that, you know, that shows off how good I am. And, you know, yes, he's surrounded by all this other good stuff, but I'm going to get through all that without... And he's the type of guy who it's like, yes, he's surrounded by 30 people, but he just kills the one guy.
Yeah.
And I can see that's what Deadshot is, whereas Bullseye would be like, and lob a grenade in there.
Yeah.
It's because I can't.
Did you see the Batman Gotham Knights anime thing?
Yes.
I liked the way that Deadshot was portrayed in that. Mm-hmm. He was a lot different than the comic books, but I think that one would work really well cinematically. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Shay.
I chose someone who Ethan has cast a couple of times now, Paul Bettany, who's going to be showing up in Priest here shortly.
I considered him, as a matter of fact.
He's
I like
that.
Paul Bettany.
I did too.
I found out, actually, he is the voice of Jarvis in Iron Man. I did not realize that. I think
we said that every time we cast him before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. No, I wouldn't pay attention to that.
I know.
He's another one of those actors that's been in a lot of stuff.
Married to Jennifer Connelly, also.
Yeah, married to Jennifer Connelly. He's a big character actor.
Nice.
Big character actor. You know, I saw that Legion movie. It was pretty retarded, but it wasn't that
I liked
bad.
It, actually.
I liked it enough to... find a cheap copy of it.
Oh, I wouldn't find a cheap copy of it, but I didn't.
I enjoyed it.
I didn't feel dumb renting it.
No.
So I mean,
it wasn't as crappy as I was expecting it to be.
No. It was, movie with you know, angels killing everything. I mean, yeah. That doesn't sound like a great idea.
But hey, it was entertaining.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it made me want to. I want to see Priest. Priest looks interesting.
Yeah.
I went with, like I said, you know, I liked the way that he was portrayed in the Batman Gotham Knights. I just thought it was an interesting take on him. And I kind of used that as my template. This is one I didn't spend a lot of time on. I just kind of said, makes sense to me. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I couldn't think of anybody better. So I just stuck with him. I think it could be cast better. It's probably been cast better twice at this table right now. I went with a 43-year-old actor. Let's see, how old is that? That would be 1965. 42-year-old actor by the name of Timothy Oliphant. He was the...
I like Timothy Oliphant.
I do, too. He was the villain that was in... he's in Deadwood, one thing.
He was phenomenal in Deadwood.
Yeah, he was really good in Deadwood.
And then he was the villain in Live Free or Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also the hitman in...
Hitman. He was also in...
He was also
Scream,
in a new show on FX.
Scream 2.
Was he in Scream 2?
Mm-hmm. He was in Catch and Release. He was in Dreamcatcher. Mm-hmm. He was in A Perfect Getaway, The Crazies, and Hitman.
Yeah.
He's an interesting actor that just looks like an asshole.
When I saw him in Deadwood, my immediate thought's like, Michael Biehn.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he looks like, Michael Biehn.
Yeah.
He's really good in Deadwood. Mm-hmm. He's really good in Deadwood. But
which character is he in Deadwood?
He is the crazy marshal guy who... Okay. Becomes the marshal of the town and has goes flying off the handle at the lightest
all the time.
Lightest,
yeah, you can't touch
Seth Bullock.
Just,
Seth Bullock gets a little uptight there, a little round up.
I don't know. He's just kind of got that asshole look to him, mm-hmm. and I could totally see him. You know, and I hadn't seen Hitman, and I don't want to.
It's entertaining,
is it? I just don't want to see it. I don't want to be entertained.
Yeah. It's what you'd expect from a movie based on a video game with guns.
That bad?
Lots
of
stuff blowing up.
Yeah, but you know,
like Resident Evil Afterlife.
I think
except this one was probably better.
I think he can do it just fine.
I refuse to see it. Anyway,
I liked it just fine. I thought it'd be an interesting way to go with it.
There's six Mia Jovoviches on the screen at one time.
So what?
In 3D, no less.
Uh huh.
Giggity.
That's giggity, sounds giggity, giggity, great. Giggity. But after the last movie, I don't want to see anymore.
I don't want to, you know, I didn't want to see any past the first, and you said the second one was better, and I'm like, I ought to punch you in the dick until you pass out, because I didn't like any of them. And I'm probably going to have to see Afterlife also, because Rachel likes those movies, but I don't think they're that particularly bad, they just were just boring, and I don't remember them.
But
I watched
movies.
Them 2 weeks ago. They're not zombies.
Well, they're not zombies,
no,
they're effective,
but that has been our casting couch of Green Arrow.
Arrow doesn't fight zombies.
No, he doesn't. It'd be
he
kind
would.
Of fucking,
well,
yeah, he did.
Technically he did, yes, with the whole
Night.
Blackest Night.
Yeah. But he was one of the...
He was a zombie fighting heroes.
Yeah, that's even better. Do expect to see the Green Arrow come up at some point for We Make It. It's a movie I'd really like to see because, you know, I love me some archery. And I just think it could be a cool, fun movie. So that you have anything else to say?
No.
Who won? Who picked the best everybody?
I think Kristen Bell was the best pick. So out of everything,
Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
I like Michelle Williams better.
Christian Bale. I'm like Christian Bale. He's already Batman. No.
I think Kristen Bell was the best black. Was for Black Canary was. The
I like
best
Michelle
pick.
Williams still. I just because you know, but you know, I think we all three have three different versions of this
well,
movie.
Yeah, as
in our
always,
head.
we have three different movies we're making here. So,
yeah. So you know. that's kind of what we make it is
we're
try
trying
to
get together on.
We try
this.
To get. We try
and
to not argue.
And I'm
all
for giving Timothy Oliphant more work.
Me too.
I would totally give him
the. I guess we're not really wanting to talk about who won. So yeah, that has been the Casting Couch. Do stay tuned. We're going to be right back with our characterization of Galactus. We are back with the characterization segment. This is one where we take something that doesn't necessarily fit into some sort of role-playing game terms, and we do just that. We just take a concept, a character, an idea, an item, and we say, what would happen if we wanted to have something whatsoever in a role-playing game setting? And this week we decided to do Galactus from the Marvel comic books. How would you handle this, Shay?
Well, obviously the first real issue is the size.
And he's big. Galactic, as a matter of
Galactic. I think that one of the first things you would have to do is decide to do to make a new size category.
Galactus is whatever size he wants to be.
Well, that's true. He could.
Because he's Galactus.
He could shrink down. That's right. He does have that ability. It's within his within the realm of his
powers.
He
controls the power cosmic. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Me too.
But his generic size is the funny. I was looking this up, and his foot is colossal.
Yes.
1 foot of Galactus is colossal, which is the largest size category in the base D20 system.
It's what size?
Colossal.
So if we're going to be developing a new size, it would just have to be galactic.
Yeah, we would have a galactic size category. That'd be the first major issue there. So there'd be some ramifications.
My first step in characterizing Galactus would be to take a character sheet and shred it.
So yeah, you don't get to do this.
No.
This is
you
just
become a paragraph.
Yeah.
An abstract paragraph, and the GM then says whatever the hell he wants because he's Galactus.
He is now weather.
And if the characters are dumb enough to attack Galactus,
splat,
he sneezes and they fly off to Pluto, which is still a planet.
I wonder if they have Triceratops on Pluto.
They do now.
They should.
And Brontosauruses.
And Brontosauruses.
Is it Brontosauruses or Brontosauri?
I think it's Brontosauri, actually.
Anyway.
But
yes, Galactus.
Another
thing.
Big
what
thing?
I'm getting into is he's a force of nature. He is.
Might as well characterize Rain.
He is not something that I think needs to be put down on a character sheet. He is the GM caveat.
He does things, and things just happen.
So here's a question.
He gives you superpowers. Congratulations.
He is the conflict you have to overcome. Because you can't go up and punch it to death.
Yeah, you have to solve.
It's like, you can try.
You have to trick him, or
convince him not to eat your planet.
Yeah, it's a.
So when he eats the planets, does he, like, physically eat them, like, pick it up like an apple? And
or
is it more like an observing?
He builds this big machine converts the planet in energy, and he absorbs it.
What was that planet-eating dude
that really
the
rips the planet apart, and it's Omnipotus, devourer of worlds.
He was awesome.
Omnipotus.
Yes. He was awesome.
Yes.
The tick more or less gave him a spa day, and so he didn't eat the earth.
Massaged his feet.
His feet, plucked his unibrow.
Uh-huh.
I think didn't he have like a moon or something stuck in his ear?
Yes,
yeah,
I believe so.
Yeah, I remember that. That's some funny shit.
If I recall correctly, the way that the Fantastic Four were able to defeat Galacticus in the comic books was they offered him. Did I say Galacticus?
You've been saying it.
Galacticus. That's the way I first.
Yeah, it is the way I first tried it too, but then I figured out it was actually Galactus.
Galactus. But Nova, there was a character who offered her services up as being his new herald.
She became the new herald. That wasn't the first time that he showed up. Galactus has shown up on the planet Earth numerous times. The first time he showed up, they basically they convinced him to not eat Earth.
They just petitioned him, like, please.
Well, they tried fighting him first, and they figured out that wasn't going to work. But essentially, they just convinced him that to appreciate the life on Earth. But what they did is, sort of what they did in the movie, is they got Silver Surfer to go against him, and then they drove Galactus off, and Galactus says, this is too much of a hassle to eat your planet. I'm going somewhere else.
You keep breaking my spoons, so...
Yeah, it's like, son of a... That was my spork. That was my cosmic spork. And...
So one actually that does make me think of one of the ways that I would resolve dealing with Galactus.
Spork?
No, have like a damage aura, like where you attempt to when you attempt to attack him, you just take damage instead.
Well, you know?
It's like you try and punch him and you take damage instead of
tink.
It's like ow, I punched him.
I think
him.
It's along the line. Well, I would say it also just going to depend on what level your characters are at this. You know, it's like if you're a bunch of fifth level characters in Galactus lands, well, you're, there's not much you can do but say, please don't eat our planet, Mr. Galactus.
But
and then when he breathes in your direction, you vaporize.
Yeah. But let's say you're 35th level with two levels of divine spark. Now what do you do?
Yeah.
Nothing.
At that point, you start getting into that realm of actually being at least Silver Surfer.
No, it's rain. It's not evil spirits. Yes. Fine, try and kill it.
But it ultimately goes into whatever jamming style you have. You know, I mean, I wouldn't stat the guy up. I would just have him. Galactus is here. Boom.
It's a planet.
Okay, Galactus is here. Go ahead and start rolling up new character sheets.
It's like, okay, do you attack it? Yes. Okay, the next campaign we'll be doing this.
The next campaign, you need to remember this.
Sort of a World of Darkness scenario where you actually just
talk
your
new characters will be the people who are standing back and watching these foolhardy people run in and get vaporized by this giant entity.
What else is important about Galactus to get on
He gives people powers. Yep. That's a major thing.
Can bestow powers
on
people.
He has a ship that you could go to and maybe do something to the ship and make it leave so he chases his ship.
Yeah.
It might be a way of getting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's put some DCs on a computer.
What I'm
usage.
Saying is he's rather than an outright I'm an antagonist, you have to defeat me, he's a plot device. Right. He is something you put in there for the characters to for characters and players really to try to figure a unique way to
deal with.
Rather than well, we fought the dragon and we've destroyed the dragon, but now we've got this thing which we can't fight, so we have to figure something else out.
Right. He's a problem to be solved, not a foe to be foiled, because there is no defeating this guy. An interesting thing that I've known for a while about Galactus is that he is actually the last survivor of the previous universe, which I thought was a previous universe. That
that's why they gave him all this crazy stuff that I try to ignore, but
yeah, because
what was her name? Galacta, the daughter of Galactus.
Yes.
Who did he mate with Eternity or something?
I don't know. Galactus. He had offspring through osmosis.
Yeah, probably.
He's spored.
Yeah. I think it's Galactica or Galacta or whatever.
I don't know anything about it. I just saw the comic and I'm like, that sounds stupid. Yeah. Ew, Batman, you know.
It's like, oh, hey, look, something that doesn't suck.
That is really the main issue, is that he's not somebody you can pound into submission.
No.
He's like Cthulhu or...
Yeah. It's something that I just don't think you need to stat out. It is a literal force of nature that you figure out how to aim it rather than how to stop it. You just go, okay, we need to...
There was a device, like Ultimate Nullifier, wasn't that one of the ways?
The Cosmic Nullifier,
They threaten him with the Cosmic Nullifier at some point, which is going to kill them when they do it, but it's like that, like... If you don't stop, we're going to blow up the entire planet, and if we can't have it, you can't eat it, you know, kind of thing.
I mean, and that's talking putting it into a D&D type of universe. If you're doing a superhero universe, I mean, then of course he can be there's a method of defeating him. But I mean, Mutant Masterminds has something like him set at power level X, which is no stats. It's that type of thing.
If he wants to do it, he does it.
Yeah, he can do anything he wants. He can toss buildings around.
He's a lot bigger than a building.
If he wants to lower himself enough to actually fight,
that would be an interesting scenario.
Read the comics. What he just stands there. And he's building his machine because everything else is like ants and gnats to him. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he's just sitting there.
Silver Surfer comes rolling in and blasts him with his power cosmic, and goes, "Hey, that's my stuff. Stop that."
Yeah,
it's like a hornet too.
Yeah,
you know, like not really
But it's like, you're not going to kill him, but you got his attention. Yeah. That might not be a good thing, but, you know.
Yeah, you did get his attention.
Okay, is there anything else important about this guy, or can we move on and talk about Scott Pilgrim?
I don't think so. That really is the size category.
So our characterization is don't.
Pretty much. No,
well, that's my characterization.
Well, really, the characterization isn't so much about making a character sheet. It's about discussing how to use a concept mm-hmm. in a game. And that's
and you can adapt the Galactus concept to anything else, really. I mean, a great example would be the Neverending Story, the Nothing.
Right.
You know, it's
that's another
you can't
Galactus
go fight it.
No.
It's out there. It's coming at you, but
there's nothing.
You can't go up and say, "Oh, stop, please."
There's nothing for it.
You know, yeah, stuff like that. And I think you can add an antagonist into a game and be able to basically have it's not something
he's
you can physically go up and confront.
Yeah, he's like rain. He's like winter is coming. He's a force major. Aaron said it like 16 times already. So yeah, I think that's pretty much what we needed to say.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. So, I guess that's been our characterization of Galactus. Stay tuned. We will be back with our Confessions of a Movie Snob on Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Stay tuned. And we are back with Confessions of a Movie Snob. This week we're going to be reviewing the 2010 film of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. When did that come out?
August.
Yeah, August. We were not doing the show, otherwise we probably would have reviewed it then.
Yes. I've still got I was going to do Confessions of it, but now we're doing the show.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, me too. Okay, what can be said about Scott Pilgrim vs. the World?
It's directed by Edgar Wright.
Directed by Edgar Wright, starring Michael Cera, Mary Elizabeth Winstead,
yeah.
Rory Culkin, Chris Evans is in it.
Yep.
Jason Schwartzman. Mm-hmm. Lots of people.
Lots of people in it.
It's based off of a comic book.
It is based off of a comic book.
It's a highly stylized
Very,
movie.
Very stylized movie.
Very pop culture movie, but that's what Edgar Wright sort of revels
yeah,
in.
Yeah,
so.
Now,
I loved it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is I found it to be probably, without a doubt, one of the most obnoxious movies I've ever seen in my life, and I loved it for it. I mean, it was just a lot. It was just a lot of fun. I mean, it's a movie that I've expressed again and again and again on the show. I just really do not like Michael Cera. This was not an exception to that rule. I did not like the character of
Scott
Pilgrim.
Well, Michael Cera plays Michael Cera.
Yeah, he does.
I thought he did a pretty good job of being at least a little bit more than Michael Cera. There was something, I felt like there was a Scott Pilgrim in the movie that was separate from Michael Cera.
I can say this honestly about the movie is, if Edgar Wright hadn't directed it, I wouldn't have seen it.
Probably me too. Probably me too.
And
I don't know, maybe the trailers might have caught my attention because I don't.
Turned me off.
I thought it looked obnoxious. You know what? I got what I expected out of it. Truth be told,
yeah.
But you know, it had great music.
Mm-hmm. It did have great music.
It was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed the pop culture references, but overall,
I loved the scenery.
It is not a movie I'd rush out and buy. It is not a movie I'd go see again.
Oh, I'd buy it.
I loved the moment when he was like, "I'm going to get a life," and he grabs the.
Stuff like that's kind of silly.
They sort of inundate you from the start of the movie with the pop culture, the video game references, the comic references, and all that. And you know, I enjoy that just fine. I just didn't care.
I liked
the whole movie. I just didn't care about his whole
his pee meter.
That was silly. The pee meter was really silly.
Yeah. Well, that all aside, I mean, the storyline. I was like, okay, this is an entertaining, you know, sort of comic book type of thing, but I just don't care. The care, there's really not a lot redeeming about the character in the movie.
I was kind of watching, hoping he wouldn't get either of the girls.
Yeah,
you know, because I thought that Blades was the cooler person or the better girl,
uh-huh.
And he treated her like shit. And then there was also the character of Ramona, and I didn't think she was that. She's hot.
She's pretty, but
Yeah, and then on top of that, she's a pain in the ass because there are seven evil exes were trying to kick his ass the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I would have kicked her ass to the curb at that point.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, I enjoyed it a lot. I like Edgar Wright movies. You know, mm-hmm. I was really expecting to see Simon Pegg cameo. I was very surprised there wasn't. I was very surprised with the Thomas Jane cameo. That was
funny.
That was hilarious.
Yes. I mean, there were parts in the movie where I was rolling. I mean, there were some hysterical moments in the movie.
But I love
Edgar Wright. Does comedy well.
Yeah, he does.
He does comedy exceptionally well. Just watch any of his old stuff. I mean, Hot Fuzz is probably one of my favorite comedies of all time.
Hot Fuzz. I'm still more of a Shaun of the Dead guy.
But Shaun of the Dead's great.
I did love me some Hot Fuzz. So. Yeah. Spaced was a great show.
Oh, yes.
I really enjoyed that show. I was telling anybody that'll listen to me, I thought that is it Rory Culkin?
Rory, or was it Kieran?
Kieran Culkin. Yeah, the Kieran Culkin character. Wallace, his cool gay friend. I loved that character. He was hilarious.
I liked him the best.
Really
I did,
nice.
Too. I did, too. He was my favorite
presence
character.
And
I mean, there is a lot of a tongue-in-cheek sort of attitude to the movie that really, you're not supposed to...
Take it seriously.
Take the movie seriously. You're not supposed to, envelop yourself in the movie. You're just you're supposed to sit back... Eat popcorn and watch the movie. What the fuck
was that all about?
And I can entirely see why it didn't do well in theaters.
I don't, not really. This movie is going to be like one of those movies that has a huge life on DVD. Yeah. I mean, people are going to, because there's people that didn't go see it because of Michael Cera. I mean, and I almost didn't go see it because of him, and I'm glad I saw it. I liked it. I mean, I thought it was a lot of fun. I would actually, I'd like to check out the DVDs for special features because Edgar Wright is, he's a great commentator.
Uh-huh.
I love listening to him talk about his stuff.
I love the commentary on Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, it was great.
You mentioned something about that you think there's probably going to be a book written about why this movie did not succeed. And I know why. It's because Michael Cera is developing such a terrible reputation.
I don't even think it's that.
I don't either.
I think the movie itself is just... It's just too weird. It's too much of a niche.
It's a very niche-y movie. But at the same time, it has a great director. It was very well made.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very well made. I think Michael Cera did fine in it. I mean, it's the
best thing I've seen him do.
Well, that's my favorite movie I've seen him do. That's not really saying anything.
Well, I really do think he kind of broke a little bit out of being just Michael Cera. There was something a little bit more.
But it was funny. It had a great soundtrack. It was one of the most fun movies I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And Shay is trying to say that it's a better movie than it is a fun movie. And I think it's a very good movie, but I think it's an extremely fun movie. I really enjoyed it. I will buy it when it comes out because Rachel loved it and I liked it a lot. And it's one of his new favorite movies.
Mm-hmm. I just like the way that Shay
lesbians it.
Yes. I lesbian it. That's right.
I lesbianed it as well, but I think I lesbianed it as a much lesser degree as everyone else.
I said lesbian.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the movie, it was...
My favorite.
There was funny parts in the movie. I mean, it was overall a very entertaining,
funny movie. It was like every second there was another like...
It really took me a long time to get into it. It took me like half hour, 45 minutes to get into it.
It's not a movie that I would go out of my way to see again.
I fell into it. I'd be ready to watch it again.
You drank the Kool-Aid, huh?
Yes,
you drank the Kool-Aid.
Actually, I really was.
I like the way.
The only reason I ultimately went to see the movie was because it's Edgar Wright, I think Edgar Wright's probably one of the best directors out there.
He's great.
He has a lot of wit about him, and I love that in his movies. And he keeps saying he's going to do an Ant-Man movie, and I'm totally
seeing
that.
Yeah. Simon,
I don't care what's in it, who's in it. I'm going to see it because it's an Edgar Wright movie. So, it was entertaining. It was entertaining. I
favorite part of the whole movie. I don't even think it was necessarily like built to be like one of those great punch moments, but it just cracked my shit up when they were at the concert and the band was on the stage and the lead singer says, "Okay, come on, boys, let's do it." And then Wallace yells down at him, "What about the girl? Is she a boy?" And the guy just pauses, "Yes." And then they start playing the song. I thought that was a hilarious little part, and I just really enjoyed Kieran Culkin's.
Mm-hmm.
I really the music and
music was great.
The transitions
The actors that show up in the movie I imagine are in there because they want to work with Edgar Wright. Just like, dude, I want to work with this guy, and he seems like that kind of a director.
Yeah,
and his movies seem like that.
Everything
type of
had
thing.
That like
I wouldn't be
he
surprised.
Has a way of getting in my head. Well, no, I mean, really, a way of...
Yeah, I've heard him compared to a Spielberg, and I could see that. I would like to see him try something serious,
yeah,
just to see his take on it. But, you know, he's a fantastic comedy director.
Mm-hmm.
And, and he obviously...
Well, comedy's hard.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you know, dying's easy, comedy's hard, that's the saying. But
timing is everything.
You know, I mean, I imagine he could go and do something really interesting. That's why I'm interested to see if... because he is doing Ant-Man. I mean, he is signed. I suppose he's signed to do it.
Yeah.
And they're working on it. And, I'm excited to see what they do with that because it's going to have some more action in it. He could do action. Just watch how it was. You know.
Oh yeah. Well, hell, watch Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, Scott Pilgrim had good action in it.
But you know, like there was enough serious moments and stuff like Spaced or Hot Fuzz or something like that.
Shaun of the Dead.
It shows me that he's capable of directing seriousness. And, you know, because there are those, you know, directors out there that are, you know, perfectly capable of directing a comedy, but they just suck at everything else. And I think that he's probably got kind of got it all. I mean, he's like, the whole picture, so to speak.
No, I think the guy's very talented. Of all of his movies that are out there, I think these are only three movies he's done. There's Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and Scott Pilgrim. This one is my least favorite.
Well, I'd have to say that too, but I love the shit out of Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, and I don't want that to take away from it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think what I'm just trying to say is there are better Edgar Wright movies out there.
Oh shit, yeah, there are.
This is decent, but watch Hot Fuzz instead. Watch Shaun of the Dead instead.
I like this more than
but
I
if
like
you
want to
have a
I say that if you like those two movies, check it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very obnoxious movie, It is not for everybody. I don't think there should be any 50-year-old women seeing this movie.
No.
I feel like video games.
And I saw some 50, 60-year-olds in there.
I was like, you guys
probably have no idea what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I barely knew, and I was 30. Yeah.
I was the only person in the theater when I saw it. So,
and I can completely understand why it's not doing well. It's because the trailers really don't give a lot of what the movie's...
But what about word of mouth? I mean, nobody's seeing it, and I don't know. I could see books being written about why this movie failed. It had all the ingredients to add up to And I'm not, I'm not saying it should make a shitload of money, but just doing better than it did.
Yeah, and I think it's understandable to me why a movie like Expendables is more of a commercial success.
Well, sure.
This one is just not a very commercial type of movie. Mm-hmm. It's we've said it before, it's a very niche movie.
I would love to see it in Michael Cera's career. It isn't. But I'd love to see it happen.
If they blame him for the reason nobody came to see it, that could.
A lot of people are, and I don't know if that's it, because his movies make money. I mean, you know, he makes a lot, and people go see them. And I think they're just now figuring out it isn't because of him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, I liked Superbad, but, you know, he irritated the shit out of me.
I liked Juno, but I didn't care about him in it.
I didn't like Juno.
I haven't seen Juno.
I thought Juno was an overrated piece of shit, actually. Something in Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Nick and Nora's
horrible.
Yeah.
Is he in that?
Yes.
I do not want to see, he was Nick. I do not want to see Youth in Revolt. It just looks awful.
Uh-huh.
You know, because what blows my mind about it is you have him supposedly trying to play two different characters, and I'm sure he blows it royally because he can't play.
Michael Cera. That's all he plays. And that's what he's playing in Scott Pilgrim.
And I liked him in Arrested Development. I love that show. But he was 15 and he was supposed to be playing an awkward teenager.
Sure.
You know, it's like, you know, ha ha ha, you know, that's cute. Now he's fucking 22, 23? I mean, now he's just getting old.
Playing an awkward teenager. Actually, that is the one thing. I do think that he kind of... I felt like there was more of a character there than there had been in Superbad. Because Superbad, he was just sort of like, meh.
Yeah, well, you know...
And he was like... Superbad was like what had happened to the guy from Arrested Development. It's like, what happens when his family isn't around? Oh, he goes and tries to sneak into... He tries to steal beer or something like that. This is the exact same guy. It seemed to me that Scott Pilgrim was a little bit different of a person. He was kind of a womanizer. He was a lot more confident than the previous characters.
Confident or competent?
Both, actually. I disagree entirely.
I think it was an incompetent, worthless human being.
Yeah, I would like to...
Throughout the entirety of the movie.
I really didn't like that character.
To me, he had confidence at
but it was narcissism.
It was an unfounded narcissist.
That's still a different character than the character from Superbad, is what I'm saying. I'm not trying to say that he's a phenomenal actor, but maybe acted a little bit in this movie.
Yeah, a little bit, maybe. And by acting, he read a script. He's like, and you're probably like, but can't I just stand in the... can't I just stand in the corner and whine? No, get your ass over there and get the katana. I liked it. That's what I'm saying. I liked it quite a bit. And you know, like I told Shay, I liked it. It's probably not in my top 100, but I liked it. You know, I'm not pissed. I didn't pay to see it, but you know, wouldn't have been too pissed if I had.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, I think with that and some with Edgar Wright in our minds, you've got red on you.
I do have red on me. That's
How
awesome.
How did you get red on you?
I used to wear these at
He's got
work.
Red on you.
I got red on me.
Oh, painted pants.
Okay, so I guess we're done talking about Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Stay tuned, we'll be back with our outro section. And we are back with the outro section of the Red Phone Zone, issue number 24. On this show, we did a casting couch of Green Arrow. Followed that up with a characterization of Galactus. And we wrapped it up, put a nice little bow on it, with our confessions of Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I don't know about you guys. I had fun doing the show. I'm looking forward to next week a little bit more, though, because in that show, we're going to be doing a We Make It of... this is... Ethan pulling out
X-Men 4.
Snick, motherfucker.
And I would keep X-Men 3.
You would keep
entirely.
You would keep
the whole
it?
Thing.
Yep, the whole thing.
I don't have a problem.
Still
with
stands
that.
With X-Men 4.
This will be interesting.
I have some thoughts
to see.
Already fermenting.
I'm not going to bother thinking about it. And then see after we
just
do that.
Just sit back and be entertained as me and Ethan argue about what's going to happen in X-Men 4.
Exactly. Okay. And then we're going to be following that up with the top 6 of our favorite sidekicks, and
yes.
This is not necessarily going to have to be in all movies or all comic books. Maybe a little bit.
I
of
think
both.
We're or even limiting ourselves to comic books. We could do Watson. You know, I mean,
Watson.
Yeah.
You
know, I mean, technically, he is a sidekick.
As far as I'm concerned, you could do commercials. I don't care right. So long as you can think it up.
Here's a question: would Jubilee be considered Wolverine's sidekick?
Sure, why not?
Depends. Are we firing her into the sun?
That's fine with me.
Because I'd be fine with that if we were firing her into the sun.
That'd be absolutely fine. And then after that, we're going to be doing Watch This. This is my choice. And we're going to be talking about a little show called Penn & Teller's Bullshit. That's going to be an awful lot of fun talking about because I get to say a naughty word. And I like
and Aaron doesn't say naughty
no,
words.
No, I never do. So fuck that shit. What else you guys got to say?
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks. I got nothing really.
We're really getting things together. I think we're still figuring this out. We actually have outlines of what we're doing for a while,
mm-hmm.
and I think I'm gonna sit down tomorrow and send out to put up events for everything on the Facebook so that like people can.
Yep.
Invited and
I think I'll spend the next week or so like actually fleshing out the casting couches stuff
yeah,
like that.
Putting the names, nice. How many people we're gonna do. And,
yep.
Yeah,
this is my last show where I'm going to be 30 years old. By the time I'm done, I'm going to be 31. It's going to suck.
Everybody send happy birthday wishes to Aaron.
At RedPhoneZone.com.
To the big boss man, Aaron. Yeah, Aaron at RedPhoneZone.com.
You guys got anything else?
Yeah, I know you said happy something. Birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's not my birthday.
Yeah, when is your birthday?
It's going to be happy birthday
Sunday.
To you.
Sunday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday is Monday.
Excuse me.
Happy birthday.
Shut up, man.
Once you get past 21, you really stop caring.
Yeah, you just sort of... another day will be
29,
dead,
but,
you
know.
Yeah.
No.
Shit.
You join the ranks of the 31-year-olds.
Okay.
So does that make, let's see, that makes you the oldest here. That'll make you the oldest. No, you're the oldest?
I'm 31 already. Been 31 for a week now.
17 days. When's your birthday, the 10th?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the 27th.
So I guess that makes me the youngest. Sweet. I'm the baby here.
Except for Rachel, she's like 26.
Well, you robbed the cradle.
Yeah, I robbed the cradle.
She's not on the show, though. She doesn't count.
She has. You're not the youngest person who's ever been on the
show. True.
That's true.
We've had two...
Actually, Jeff's older than you.
Jeff is... I thought Jeff was... Oh, it is.
Jeff's
a year older than
Jeff's like 30... Who?
I thought he was on the
Chloe's on the show.
That's true.
Chloe is by far
the youngest. Yes, unless you want to count the cat.
Trevor was on the show.
Trevor's not a person.
Oh, he's a cat person.
Well, he's a cat. Cats have feelings too.
Yeah, but not person feelings. So with that, this is Aaron.
This is Ethan.
And Shay.
Let your geek flag fly.